Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host, Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. On today's show, we're going to be talking through the upcoming solar eclipse and through the soon-to-be retrograde Venus, which is totally different from the retrograde Mercury. So that'll be kind of interesting to talk about. With me today is my lovely co-host, Jason Levanis. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Janet. I am in a goofy mood. So can you hold on just, well, yes, go ahead. I've got you. Anyway, I'm in a goofy mood, and I have to tell you, I was listening to your, what do you call it, intro, and your intro said, you know, where we are committed to blah, 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 and I thought, yeah, that's the way I feel today. I just feel like I've been committed.
Funny shit. Thing.
Anyway, so I'm excited because, you know, there's always so much horror associated with Mercury retrograde. And I've often said to you, you know, it would be really cool to do some retrograde shows on other things. And so tonight we get the chance to do that.
Right. We do. We get to talk about Venus. But it's not so easy. Venus sometimes is, you know, what I find fascinating is that in mythology, Venus is often equated with the goddess Inanna, the Babylonian goddess, but she's described as, you know, burning red hair and like a goddess of fire and a goddess of like destruction. And
really?
In astrology, wow. We really equate her more with the more peaceful, harmonious, relationship energy, money energy, and yet the planet Venus herself, the actual planet, is hotter on her surface than the planet Mercury is, even though Mercury is much closer to the sun. And Venus, contrary to every other planet in the solar system, orbits backwards compared to the rest of the planets. So
it actually is going backwards, as a very interesting, as opposed to the others. Because, you know, I've often had a misconception, and you had corrected me that, you know, when I say, oh, Mercury retrograde, you're like, it's more like it's being held in place than it's going backwards. So that's fascinating.
Well, it's not that it's being held in place, because it really does appear, anyway, from where we sit on this planet, that some of those planets are moving backwards through the sky. Essentially, though, that's not what happens. But what I mean by Venus is that if we have, holy cow, every phone I have is suddenly ringing.
I hear all these glissandos. Well, while you're turning off your phones, let me be a dutiful producer and do the correct plugging here. All of you out there that are listening, if you don't know it, Janet has a fantastic website, which is www.living-astrology.com, whereby she has some wonderful free giveaways at the moment for different kinds of charts. She's also my personal, I can't say my personal, because that just means that you're just mine, but you happen to be my personal human design consultant, which is a whole different divinatory art. And she is extremely adept at this and has guided me through many of my own personal decision-making processes. So any of you out there, please realize that we do these shows for free, and we put back into the universe because we believe that it's important as metaphysicians, spiritualists, whatever the hell you want to call us these days, committed spiritualists. and that, you know, this is how we survive. So, you know, hit us up for readings. You can hit me up for a tarot card reading and spiritual consultation at www. And here's the long word now. Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis, one word, .com. And I'm giving a giveaway as well, which is a one-card identifier to let you know where you're at spiritually.
Wow.
Are you there? Okay.
I'm here. Are you?
Yeah, your microphone popped for just a moment. And for the people that don't know, Janet is all the way out transcontinental, as they say. She's all the way out in the Washington state area, and I'm over here in the New York City area. And so sometimes if you hear our technical glitches, it's because there's quite a distance going on, but we are thankful that Blog Talk Radio has its shit together at least 7 times out of 10. I guess it's a better rating than, you know. Anyway. Anyway, I interrupted and I digress.
No worries. Astrology and astronomy in the news today, several different things, which is really, really interesting. One, did you hear that there is a planetary system that was discovered that has 7 Earth-like planets in what they call the Goldilocks zone, which is the zone of life, you know, where they think that the planets are far enough away from their star that they could actually have life. And they're only something like 43 light years away from us, which is incredibly close compared to, say, the next best choice of a galaxy, which would be, oh, I want to say 100 and some light years away.
Does that mean to preclude that it could be reached? Because I don't really know how long a light year takes to travel.
Yeah, I don't know that we could do the travel yet because, for instance, to Mars, it would take us like 9 months at the closest approach Mars is to the Earth to get there. So I'm not sure that we can travel there at this point in time, but who knows? I mean, it's certainly possible in the future that we might be able to, well, for sure now we could send, you know, some kind of satellite there. Hubble, you know, is way out beyond that point. So. Anyway, that was interesting. And then Pluto has made it into the news again. They've decided, scientists crack me up, right? They've decided that it's okay to name Pluto's moons and the various physical features on those planets after various characters in mythology representing death or the underworld. Like, who are they?
I love it.
Who are
like
they
Tarion?
To decide things? No, like, you know, Nyx.
They're doing their best. Come on.
They try. They do try.
I know.
They do
Oh, so anyway,
try.
I interrupted you. What are the names of these? Is it Carrion, like the guy who's on the boat? Or you said Cerberus, the three-headed dog guarding. Who else?
Yeah. So we're talking about different land mass type things that they're looking at. So, like, did you know Pluto has 4 moons? I did not know this, and I'm an astrologer, but it has Nyx Nyx and Charon and what the heck was the other one? But there's 2 other moons. How does Pluto, which isn't even a full-size planet anymore, have 4 moons when the Earth only has 1? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. It so flies in the face of the regular type of things that we come to expect. So expect, though, that you will start to hear the official names of features on the surface of both Charon and Pluto, and they will be the names of characters in the mythologies played in the underworld or were in somewhat a demonic sort of state. Interesting.
Beautiful.
I didn't make this. Yeah. Interesting stuff from the astrological world. So today, we are here to really talk about 2 big things that are going on. And if people's worlds are flip-flopping right now or odd things happening, your relationships crashing, you're losing jobs, losing custody, any kind of, you know, weird stuff happening. Oh, I almost said a cuss word. Weird stuff happening. You
That's
can chalk
job.
It up to Yeah, I know. You could chalk it up to one of two things. Either the upcoming eclipse, which is just this Sunday, or Venus in the shadow of her retrograde period. So let's talk about the eclipse first, because it happens this Sunday. And I actually pulled a chart for this, so I've got to find it because who knows where I put it on my desk. Here it is. The eclipse happens here on the West Coast at 6:58 a.m. Now, you have to know this is not an eclipse that will be visible from the Northern Hemisphere. The Southern Hemisphere will see this eclipse. However, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have power or exert any influence upon us. It just means we won't see it. Plain and simple, right? In this particular eclipse, though, there's this really interesting split going on. And it's interesting because the eclipse itself happens at 8 degrees of Pisces. And this is a new moon, so that means the sun and the moon are in a conjunction, meaning they're in the same degree of the sky, in the same place in the sky. And they are in Pisces, which is also where Neptune happens to be sitting right now. So there's a very spiritual, sort of etheric and esoteric feel to this particular eclipse and new moon. And I want you everyone to know that an eclipse is really a jacked up new moon or full moon, right? So if we have a new moon and the new moon creates openings or portals or beginnings for us, then an eclipse new moon does the same, but only in a more in your face sort of way. And when I say in your face, it could be positive in your face, or it could be, you know, interpreted as not so positive in your face. It all depends on what it is that's opening up, right? Some people who might be losing their job, let's say, might interpret that as a loss, but in reality, in the face of an eclipse, it could be the doorway to something brand new, right? A new opportunity, you know, orienting yourself on a new path and that type of thing. So it's very important that we take care to not characterize whatever happens here in the face of a new moon or an eclipse as negative or positive, right? Because they're it's really game-changing energy. So we have this very solid sort of spiritual, compassionate, loving, kind, gentle sort of energy, and then kind of to make it a polarized effect, we also have Mars, the planet or god of war, of conflict, of confrontation, occupying the same degree of the zodiac as Uranus and Eris. So, what do we know about Uranus and Eris? These two have been together for the last several months. They're sort of creating chaos and conflict and confrontation, all in the name of awakening. But now we add Mars to the mix, and Mars is not so good in this particular case. Like, I'm trying to find something really positive to say about this, but I think Mars in some ways catalyzes the more negative or conflicting and confrontational energies, and that totally flies in the face of the peace-loving spiritual energy of the eclipse. So, and of course,
May I ask a
the
question that is kind of going to sound, oh God, it's going to sound not rudimentary, well, I guess rudimentary. It's rudimentary, my dear Watson. I've heard you say this before, and I've heard other people, I should say other astrologists say this before. How come, why is it that with respect to the eclipse, an astrologist is not able to get off the fence about whether, okay, batten down the hatch, folks. It's going to be a bitch of an eclipse. It's going to be a shitty eclipse. Or, hey, guys, it's going to be a great eclipse. Why isn't there some sort of a divinator, not divinator, a
definitive.
definitive energy to the eclipse? Why is it so topsy-turvy? Oh, it can go this way. Like, for instance, we were talking about the eclipse the other day, you and I, and it happens to land in my, I think it was my house sector, my living arrangement sector. I mean, I realize that, of course, the planets in specifica in my particular chart make a difference when divining how the eclipse is going to go, but why is it that there isn't some definite characteristic to the eclipse. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. So there is a definitive energy to an eclipse. It's a jacked up new moon or it's a jacked up full moon, meaning it's either a jacked up way of opening up into a new portal, a gateway. It reminds me of the world card in the tarot where, you know, you're being born again into something new. Or
okay.
At the full moon, it is the possibility of a revelation or a conclusion to something. And so there are those two energies. But what makes it, like for me, when I'm saying what I'm saying about it, it's because I don't have access to your personal chart in the moment, unless I'm doing a reading
gotcha.
For you, to tell you where it is in your chart, what other planets it's affecting, and so I don't know how it is going to play out for everybody, but I can tell you that there is polarization in the air, right? That's the
okay.
big thing. So you know how at about, I think it was just before Christmas, you and I both were talking about how things seemed to be like in one part of the day you were on this high and on the second part of the day or 5 seconds later, something bad would happen and it would be like,
oh
taking
yeah.
you completely to the
yeah.
opposite spectrum. Well, that's kind of
yeah.
what we're seeing here right now.
Oh.
And I also noticed that the spin doctors in the political arena are also out there in force trying to spin a new story around some of the things that are happening out there, guaranteed that are going to polarize the nation yet again. And it's just kind of interesting to watch it play out. So it works out differently for each of us as individuals, though, because of the way your chart is set up. So,
okay.
Like if you had this particular eclipse sitting right on top of the planet Saturn, let's say, then it's going to be a different interpretation for you than it would be for someone who has this particular eclipse sitting in the middle of nowhere, not affecting anything in their chart.
Message
personally.
Received.
So,
that makes all the sense in the world. I didn't quite
yeah.
understand it, and that makes sense. It's a, you know, it has to do with how
yeah.
each individual is hooked up.
Correct.
Okay.
So what things to watch out for then. This particular eclipse is, I'm at a loss for words because I really don't want to say it. I did say it was jacked up. It's jacked up because juxtaposed against this beautiful, nice, loving, spiritual energy is this potential for something outrageous to happen, for something very confrontational to happen. And unfortunately, the confrontational energy has sort of connections like fingers or threads all throughout the chart. Because, for example, Mars, Uranus, and Eris are the ones I'm telling you are going to be in a conjunction in Aries on top of each other during the eclipse. Well, they happen to be across from the planet Jupiter. And those two things, Jupiter and Mars, Uranus, Eris, also happen to be squaring, challenging, in other words, to Pluto. And that in and of itself in an astrology chart is called a T-square, and a T-square is very challenging. So there's a lot of challenging energy out there, and you could be challenged in small ways and in large ways. It is a matter of what's being fired off in your chart, but it's pretty much a good guarantee everybody's going to be challenged in some way, shape, or form. You're not going to be able to avoid it because literally you have groups of planets that can stimulate, exacerbate, exaggerate some of the more negative aspects in the chart. So it really is going to depend on how you look at it. Now, one of the other things, I was on a radio show earlier this week, and we were talking about the eclipse. And one of the things I really noticed about this eclipse is that I believe it's about our taking responsibility for the confrontations, the conflict, the aggression that we see outside of us. And the way that we take responsibility for that is by healing or going into the spiritual realm and working with what's inside of us. In other words, if you're looking at the outer world and it's nothing but a bunch of, people fighting and grumbling and having a bad time and throwing mud at each other. You have to look inward to yourself and see where part of you is resonating with that, so that you can heal yourself. That's the high side of this, is being able to go, okay, great. I'm not responsible, nor can I change what's going on in the outer world, except by changing myself, my own perception, perhaps, my own way of dealing with conflict or with the ugliness out there. And I think maybe that's, you know, how we can work with that kind of polarized energy. Does that make sense to you?
It absolutely makes sense. You know, anybody that has been following yourself or myself, it's kind of interesting because I just finished doing a week or so ago the Hermit card. And, you know, the Hermit, he's got to be out in the world. Everybody thinks, oh, he goes inside a cave and blah, blah, blah. No, that's just not what it's about. You know, he is still dwelling in the world, but he has gone within himself to change his perspective. It's not sort of the mantra on this is, it's not the landscape that needs changing. It is the eyes through which you're viewing it. Yeah, it's the eyes through which you're viewing it. So, you know, you've been talking about this asshole Trump and some of these other people for quite some time now. And I say that with an elan and an absolute detestation, because I'm just overwhelmed. But the fact of the matter is, you know, this guy is doing exactly what is supposed to be happening right now. For better or for worse, we're being asked to really make some insightful decisions about where we stand and who we are and not just coast anymore. So I think what you're saying is completely apt, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your job is to keep to your own self and, you know, work with what you can work with, because it's not always what Trump says, what Trump does, what Bannon does, and all those characters out there that are creating havoc in our outer world isn't anything that I can affect. I mean, certainly if it came up and I had to take a stand, you know, on something about maybe human rights or a women's right to choose or whatever, then that would be something I would have to face, and I would have to work with that energy. But all this other stuff is just so much rhetoric and so much, you know, I feel like, you know, the three witches standing around the cauldron, you know, toil, boil, and trouble, kind of thing. It's like you're stirring the pot. Mm. And that takes all of us individually away from shining our own individual light. I've seen it take me out, you know, and take me down for days at a time where I'm just so embroiled in everything that's going on around me. And so they succeed then in taking and dampening my light, as they succeed in dampening everyone else's light when that's happening, when you get too close to it. I'm not saying we don't stand up for ourselves. I'm not saying don't advocate for what is right or what is moral or, you know, what you believe in. Uh-huh. But I am saying try not to get into the conflict and the confrontation of it all. It's almost amusing, right, if you stand back and look at it with a completely different eye and watch these little kids throwing mud at each other and, you know, fighting for toys and, you know, I'm going to take your media privileges away because you said something about me I didn't like. And I feel like, you know, he needs to have a diaper on with a rattle in his hand, you know, stomping his feet.
Myself, Janet, the viewpoint I have been taking lately instead of getting embroiled in it is we learned in I don't know whether it was English or social studies back in the day in high school, there was this term called fascination of the abomination. And quite honestly, the best example of that is when you're on the highway and there are all these people rubbernecking because there's a horrible car wreck, you know? Yeah. And for me, I just feel like I'm viewing some kind of a fucking train wreck. And I'm from afar going, look at that. I'm not involved. You know, I'm trying to send positive energy towards it. But I just feel like, I mean, I heard the other day when blah, 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 he's making comments about Sweden and all these things are happening that are just not true. And I look at it and I wonder now, how fascinated are people with this train wreck? It's almost like the presidency has become a reality show.
Oh, amazing how that works. Since he was the reality king for a while.
Yes. So anywho, getting back to the eclipse and or Venus.
Yeah, this was all about the eclipse. So the eclipse is bringing us to a choice point. That's another good word to use or phrase to use for an eclipse, is it presents us with a choice point. And what am I going to do from here? What am I going to do next? So now as we take a look at the next big piece of the puzzle going on, we have Venus moving retrograde on March 6th. And believe it or not, it is almost March. I can't believe that, but here we are, you know, just 2 weeks from March 6th, and it will be retrograde until April 5th, and it retrogrades from 13 Aries backwards to 26 degrees Pisces. So she's kind of retrograding in the same territory as the eclipse is playing out, or where a lot of planets have been over the last couple of weeks. And so we could really take a look at what Venus rules in astrology to see what it is we must do or how we should view things during the retrograde. So at first glance, then, Venus is all about worth and value. And when I say that, I mean the worth and value that we have in things like people in our lives, our relationships, and the relationship that we have to ourselves. And Venus also rules money and our resources. And so we're going to look at both of those issues individually and see what we should do with those in retrograde. So the first thing that you do under a Venus retrograde is you don't act upon any unfavorable awarenesses that come up for you around anybody in your life, including, you know, your spouses, your best friend, your peripheral friends, your coworkers. The reason being is because you don't have a clear perspective when Venus turns retrograde. In other words, any traits that you are suddenly reacting to with someone could be things that were already there, could be traits that were already out there during, you know, before the retrograde period of time, but suddenly during the retrograde, you just, like, they're bugging you, you can't stand it anymore. But yet just the few days before that, everything was fine and dandy. So of course, you know, acting upon your awareness that the eating habits of your husband scare the hell out of you and you don't want to be living with that anymore, this is not the right time to act upon that, because again, you have this limited perception of what's going on. So if questions like you can ask yourself is, can you tolerate the differences? You could a few days ago, perhaps, and now suddenly in the retrograde, you can't. So is it true that you can't tolerate that, or is it not true? Is it just something in the moment? If you enter into a new relationship during Venus retrograde, beware, right? Because you won't be able to see your new relationship clearly. You may be idealizing that person. You have a distorted perception of who they are or what they represent in your life. And, you know, I swear, I can't, I would have to go back and look at this, but remember when Britney Spears married that guy in some, you know, night cruise to Las Vegas or something, and then she wakes up the next morning and goes, oh my God, and ends up divorced in the next couple of weeks? Well, no doubt that that was happening during a Venus retrograde, right? You don't see clearly what's going on with you and that person. And so you sometimes, with a distorted perspective, act on things that you probably normally would not. Mm. But there's a high side to a Venus retrograde too, and that is the potential for reconciliation, because Venus brings us back to the things that have troubled us in the relationships that we have in our lives. And so, for instance, if you have been in a sort of conflict or a disagreement with someone in your family or a friend or a loved one, this would be a good time to relook at that relationship and see if there's a way forward that aligns you, you know, back together in a reconciliation. So those are the relationship kind of things that come up around Venus retrograde. Now let's look at the money issues when Venus is retrograde, because for some reason money seems to be the bigger effect that happens during the retrograde. So for sure, it is not, N-O-T, capitals, a good time for investing or making big purchases or starting new financial activities during a retrograde. Again, that tendency to not see things clearly. And, you know, when we're talking Venus, we're talking about your values. And so what happens is we have a skewed sense of value with things during the retrograde. So if you're looking at investing in stock for something that sounds really good right now, it's almost a sure bet that in the next few months it's going to bear out that that was not a good deal after all, that there was some form of, you know, it could be a scheme, it could be, you know, somebody doing something behind the scenes that was changing the value of it or making it look more profitable when it really wasn't. So you really are not seeing clearly. You're not seeing all the things. So avoid doing that, getting involved in, you know, investment.
The question that I have is that is this for every planet that retrogrades or in specific Venus? You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand you don't want to start new contracts with Mercury retrograde. I've got all that message, but you don't want to
because
do anything like that.
Venus rules money specifically and the financial world specifically. So when that planet goes retrograde, those things in specific become more of a problematic area. So, for example, you don't want to buy luxury items during a Venus retrograde. Why? Because sometimes it's like the value is in the eye of the beholder. And what you may be seeing as valuable now may turn out to be a lemon later. I was on somebody's website, and I don't remember now who it is. So if you're an astrologer and you're listening to show and this is your story, then, you know, please feel free to let me know. Because I don't remember where I heard this, but an astrologer was sharing a story of a friend who went out during a Venus retrograde and bought a Mercedes-Benz. Now, you would expect that typically Mercedes-Benz is a high-quality product. And
performance,
you wouldn't expect
German performance car, absolutely.
Exactly. And when we think of luxury cars, we think of Mercedes. And so this woman bought this car under a Venus retrograde, and what happens? She's driving the car, and the engine light comes on. And so she takes it into the shop, and she has to get that fixed. And then she's driving the car another day, and the bumper, the rear bumper, falls off the car. And so, you know, it's like thing after thing keeps happening to this car. That is not supposed to happen. And she bought it, you know, it was a used luxury car, so it was bought as is. So none of this stuff is something that she can fix or can make the, you know, manufacturer responsible for. So it becomes something, you know, she couldn't wait to get rid of the car. She couldn't wait to unload the car, after all, because of what was happening to it. So you don't have clear vision on the value of things during a Venus retrograde, so avoid buying luxury items. Now, on the other hand, it is a great time to sell. Sell your stocks, sell your real estate, sell your unwanted items. Why? Because you as the seller can see the value clearer than the person buying it. And so people, because they're kind of blinded, they get into this like buying lust, and they just see this Mercedes-Benz that you have for sale, and they're like, I'm going to scoop that up. It's only $1,000. Hell yeah. Only guess what? It becomes their problem, not yours. So it's a great time to sell items that you want to unload because people who wouldn't normally buy them are out there looking for those items. This is a great time to pay off your debts, to lower your credit card balances, to renegotiate your loans or your contracts that you have out there, to get a lower interest rate perhaps, or, you know, to, what do they call the combination? Consolidate. There you go. Consolidate.
Consolidate.
Right. So a good time to do that type of thing, but definitely not a...
As... Oops. Sorry. We're having a little delay, so it's sorry if to the listeners if it sounds a little like we're stepping on each other. As a novice astrologist or a student of astrology, I've often heard that during a Venus retrograde is definitely not a time to get any kind of plastic surgery or anything sort of beauty-wise done to yourself. Is that all a bullshit or is that true?
No, that's absolutely true. Cosmetic surgery or any elective surgeries that would affect your face or the way you look are probably not best done under a Venus retrograde. One, they may not turn out the way you planned. You know, look at what is that girl saying that was in Dirty Dancing who had her face reconstructed, or she had a nose job and ended up, you know, having to have her total face reconstructed because they blew it. It's probably under a Venus retrograde. Erin Gray, I think that was her name. So
yeah.
Certainly, you know, you don't want to undergo the knife, if you will, during Venus retrograde. Now, the second reason why is that in the body, Venus has to do with the blood. And so often surgeries under a Venus retrograde produce more blood flow or produce more tendency to bleed more than what you would normally be expected to bleed. So you certainly don't want to go.
Interesting. Because you hear the word vena cava. You hear the Latin with the word Venus in it and the word vein. Very interesting. Okay, that's cool.
Yep, vein, Venus, blood. So to prevent blood loss, try not to have an elective surgery under a Venus retrograde. Now, if, for example, you are in a bad auto accident or you have to have some kind of emergency surgery, you can't help that. And so that's a different story. And yes, there may be, you know, more bleeding than acceptable or more bleeding than normal. But if it's already an emergent situation, the trauma teams and the doctors are already in that kind of mode, so it's not as dangerous then for that. But elective surgeries, people don't usually expect anything bad to happen. But under a Venus retrograde, it certainly can. So hedge your bets and don't do it. Wait until, I mean, Venus is really only retrograde for, you know, 6 weeks. It's not like she's one of the outer planets and is retrograde for 6 months. So it's not a very long period of time to wait. So,
now, I have another question for you. You know how you talk to me about Mercury, for example, and I'm sorry to keep going back to that, but that's really my benchmark for retrograde information. You talk to me about this wobble period or like a period before, and then you have the actual retrograde, and then there's this shadow period after. Is that true with all the planets when they retrograde?
It is, pretty much. Because think of it this way, Jason. As a planet is retrograding, it's going back over the territory it has already been through. And then when it turns back to direct motion or forward motion, it is now going to go back over that same territory yet again. So that degree span of, let's see, what did I say it was, 13 degrees Aries and to 26 degrees Pisces is going to be hit three times. The first time as Venus forwarded over it, the second time as she retrogrades backwards over it, and then one more time again as she moves back to direct motion. And it is at the time she reaches, in this case, 13 or 14 degrees Aries, that thing we could say we're clear of the retrograde. And that won't be until the beginning of May. So we'll be clear of all of the retrograde as we get into the early part of May. So just, you know, be patient. And wait for, you know, better buying, selling, relationship times. Now, one last thing with Venus in retrograde is it's a great time to buy antiques used goods or antiques because you know the quality of the item, but the seller maybe doesn't have a clear view of it. And so if you're someone who likes to go antique shopping and you're in the know of what something is worth and you happen to come across a buy that somebody's undervaluing, you know, that antique dresser or that antique painting, snap it up, right? Take advantage of maybe their...
That would be me. That would be me. I'm an antiquer.
So assuming that you know your antiques, then when you're out and about and shopping, you may recognize, wow, that's like $500 under what it should be selling for. I'm going to snap that up. So
right.
That's why. So this is a good time for buying, you know, antiques or used goods. And, you know, real estate also kind of falls in this category because sometimes people are trying to unload their real estate, maybe because the payments have become too cumbersome or it's, you know, getting close to foreclosure, or maybe they have to move unexpectedly or, you know, any number of things that can happen. So if the real estate itself is a good bargain, then it's an okay time to buy real estate. You just don't want to do things like that, though, without really knowing what you're getting into. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
I love this idea. You know, I love when I hear you talk, I love how it is that you're able to couch these things and make it accessible. So a recap on the Venus is do not buy luxury items, do not buy the stocks and bonds, do not get your face rearranged, but you can in fact sell stuff. You can in fact sell stuff. You can in fact buy antiques if you know the value of it. So that's, you know, pretty fascinating.
Yeah. And then as far as it is, I know you were screening somebody in the queue during the time I was talking about the relationship aspects, but just to recap the relationship issues, make sure that you are not acting upon any unfavorable awarenesses that crop up during this time. Like you and I were talking about a friend earlier.
Yes.
And that particular friend of yours has, you know, come under some awarenesses that are suddenly annoying the heck out of her about a significant other. And
correct.
It didn't occur to me until while we were getting ready to do this show today that no action on her part should be taken because those awarenesses were already there before the retrograde. So why suddenly?
Oh, yes, they were, honey.
Right. So you don't want to act on them. You don't want to act on those awarenesses now because if they were already there, and you stayed with that person, then it's probably something that's worth working through with that person, and you may make decisions that are not appropriate in that relationship. So try to avoid doing anything big as it relates to a relationship during the retrograde because you're not seeing it clearly. And I think the other thing I mentioned during that time is new relationships. Entering into a new relationship right now is fraught with possible repercussions. So, you know, don't meet someone, fall in love, and marry them during a Venus retrograde. Wait until after the retrograde is done and those little love cobwebs are taken away from your vision and you can see that person clearly. Then decide if you want to marry them. Then decide if you want to enter into a long-term commitment with them because you have a distorted perception during this time.
And just to recap, the Venus retrograde period is for how long? Just the actual retrograde itself.
March 6th.
How many weeks?
Until April 15th. So that's what, 6 weeks?
So it goes in actual retrograde for 6 weeks. Does that mean it is 6 weeks before and then 6 weeks after?
No, we're still doing a maybe 2 to 3 week ahead of time and 2 to 3 weeks after. And that's why I say by the beginning of May, you're pretty much in the clear. But we are already in that retrograde period as evidenced by people already questioning their relationships, looking at what, you know, things that think about what happens this time of year. A lot of people are getting their tax refunds, right? And they're tempted if they have a big enough refund to start buying things. Like maybe make car
purchases. Yes, of course,
Or put, you know, money down on a house. This is the absolute wrong time to do that because you're not seeing things clearly. That's all I'm saying.
But it would be a good time. It would be a good time if you get that. From what I'm hearing from you, if you do get that tax refund to pay off debt, pay someone back.
Correct. Or even negotiate to get loans, you know, reduced or interest rates reduced because it's a good time for that. So lots of good things in
Shannon,
the retrograde.
Listen, we have about 15 minutes left, and so I want to get to at least one or two of your callers. Is that a good time for you?
Yeah, let's do.
Awesome. I'm going to bring Emma
in. Who do we got?
I've given you We have Emma here, and I'm going to bring her in for you while you get her.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma. Hello. You're live on the air with Janet.
Yay. Hello. Thanks.
How are you doing, Emma?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I wanted to ask you a specific question. I went on two interviews about a month and a half ago, and they both seem to like me, but I haven't heard anything about the position yet. I'm wondering if you see this coming back to me, or what do you see for in my field related to career?
Okay, so Emma, let me bear with me here for a second. Have I done a reading before for you?
No.
Okay, I didn't recognize the birth. Sometimes I recognize the birth information. So let me quickly get you input into my system. I was too busy talking. So imagine that, a radio show where you have to talk. What kind of positions were you applying for?
It's for healthcare.
In the healthcare field? Okay. And are these positions you were qualified to apply for?
Yes.
Okay. And you were born, it looks like, in Amsterdam, correct?
Yes.
I have relatives that live there. I'm actually Dutch by birth.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very nice. Do you speak Dutch?
No, I do not. My mother, however, did. And interesting story, because she had
very
had
nice.
A stroke when I was very young when she had a stroke, and she was in a coma for 3 weeks. And during that time, a nurse was in her room, and she was singing a song in Dutch. And my mother actually came out of the coma and started singing the Dutch song with her. And,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because nobody could get her awake, you know, to come out of the coma with in English, but let one person come in and start singing Dutch to her, and there she went. Okay, so Emma, looking at your chart, so give me the time frame again. You said it was how many weeks ago that you applied for these jobs?
Yeah, about like a month and a half to 2 months. Yeah, about a month and a half more.
Okay, so you know, the good news is that long-term, something good will come from this. Pluto, the planet that we were talking about in the early part of the show, where he's really kind of related to the underworld, or when I say the underworld, then it's really that whole concept of transformation, right? Death and rebirth. And so Pluto is on a long-term transit now through your 10th house of career and profession. And Jupiter is also in the house of where I consider the place of your work, like your employment place. And I think it's probably going to be just a matter of a short time here before you hear back from these places. I want to say it's probably going to be after the eclipse this weekend. And that's because the eclipse is a gateway or a doorway. Let me check where 8 Pisces is in your chart. And that happens to be sitting in your 12th house, which is the house of the hidden. So there may be some hidden things going on that you can't see on the surface. Like, who knows, maybe somebody cut their budget for a short time. Maybe they had a hiring freeze that they put in for a short time.
I heard about the budget cut. I heard about a freeze put on the position. And
So now, at the most, that will last through the retrograde period, which, you know, takes you probably into April. And, you know, that's the outside. That would be the worst case scenario, let's say. And I don't want you to look at that as a bad thing, because the whole idea with Pluto is being in the right place at the right time for the right opportunity.
Exactly.
But there's no way that it's not going to happen.
Sorry?
I said there's no way that it's not going to happen, that you
is
get one of these.
Is this a career that I'll be staying in for a while, or am I going to, do you see this long term?
You know, there's a couple of things that your long term career choices need to have for you. your midheaven, which is the point at which I'm looking to see what type of career is best suited to you, is in the sign of Capricorn. And Capricorn likes things to be systematic. They like things to be by the rules. And they're very much aware of their reputation in whatever it is they do. So is this a long-term position? Well, that depends on how these people, what they value and how they, and if their values and your values align with one another. I would say there's a good chance that you will stick with this. It may not be in the same place at all times. Are you a registered nurse or a doctor? What do you do actually?
No, I'm a psychologist.
A psychologist. Okay. So as I look at the 12th house, of course, that's where the psychology house is, right? If I'm going to look at a psychologist or a guidance counselor or anything, then the 12th house becomes very powerful here. And there is a ton of planets in that house for you. Listen to this list. The Sun, the South Node, Neptune, Chiron, Venus, Mars, Uranus, Eris, and Ceres. All of them
Jesus
in the house
Christ.
Of thievery, psychology, right? She's got, you know, Jason, you've seen an astrology chart. You see about the relative size of the houses. Well, Emma, you have a relatively large 12th house, which translates also into relatively large 6th house. So a lot of planets can pack into those houses. And it literally spans 2/3 of the sign of Pisces, all of the sign of Aries, and 1/3 of the sign of what we have there is an inclusion in that Aries is totally included or bracketed inside your house. So a couple of things that tells me about you is that you probably, and just hold the phone here, you would probably do really well if you were in business for yourself or if you were totally autonomous in being able to do what you do best. In other words,
yes.
If you are attached to a hospital or a medical center type of thing, you may have to play by their rules. And their rules may stifle you, or you may feel like you're not quite in resonance with their rules. And here's a great example. Let's say you're very metaphysical, right? And if you're very metaphysical and you want to share some of the more metaphysical ways of dealing with psychology, a hospital or a doctor's office or a facility like that may put some little chinks in that because, you know, they're all about the science. They're not all about the spirit. So you probably want to find a place that is going to fulfill your need to be autonomous or independent or do your own thing.
That's where I'm heading to, but I need the licensure first. So I want to get my license and then I can branch out, but not right away.
That may be the whole deal. That may be the whole reason why Pluto is in, you know, the 10th house. Pluto moves very slowly, so it's going to be there for a while. And it gives you the opportunity to build slowly toward that which you want. And the other planets, for example, like Neptune and Chiron, they're going to be in this part of your chart for a pretty long time. So is Uranus, for that matter. And the other planets, Venus, Mars, and the Sun, they're going to move through in the next couple of weeks. But the others are going to stay here for a long period of time. So do what you can to build towards your own autonomy, to be able to do your own thing. If that means getting credentialed, then do that. And then you will have the clout.
That's a couple of years ahead, No, I just need to get on with my career, and it's taking forever.
All things come to those who wait, right? So do the work. some good things are coming. As I look at your chart, you know, your natal Black Moon Lilith is about to be hit by the transiting Black Moon Lilith. And that means the shadow in Sagittarius, for example, is the shadow of truth. The fear that there is no one truth, that there is no truth, or that life has no meaning. So I'm going to try to keep you from falling into that trap. So keep doing what you need to do. It will come. right? You've got to do your due diligence. I mean, that's just the way of the world, especially when Capricorn is at your midheaven. You can't take shortcuts in this case, honey. You got to do the due diligence. And you will find meaning, and you will find your freedom in this, and you will find your unique way of being able to express yourself as a psychologist. Okay?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Let me just take a quick look. Since do I have any other callers that I need to take, Jason? It looks like I'm in pretty clear.
You're kind of running out of time, so I would say you wouldn't want to take any callers right now. You've got about 5 minutes left, and so if you want to continue on and sort of finish up with Emma, that might be perfect.
Right. So, Emma, I wanted to give you one last sort of thing to think about, and that is Venus is going to retrograde also in your 12th house. And that's going to give you a good opportunity to look within over the next few weeks while she's in retrograde motion. So, you know, she's a very much a relationship-oriented planet, but one of the biggest relationships we have is that we have with ourselves and with our inner self, our spiritual self. So this is a good time, or at least over these next few, you know, weeks, a great time for you to build upon the strength of your inner self. Right, she is moved forward to your natal Chiron. So there's a wound here in the hidden, in the ways maybe you may self-sabotage, or in the ways where you have blocks or fears or limits that cause paralysis and an inability to move forward. So she's kind of tantalizingly coming close to that. Then she's going to back away from that, unfortunately, and give you some, or maybe fortunately, give you some time to reevaluate yourself, revalue yourself, reconsider your worth and your worthiness. And then when she moves forward again, then hopefully you have a new sense of your worth and your value and the value of the work you do. Okay? Because it looks like one of your bigger lessons in this lifetime is about self-worth. And that's a whole nother talk.
Yes, I agree.
All right.
And do you see anything for love life or nothing?
Not probably until after we get into the fall. And then some sparks are going to fly because Jupiter's moving through your marriage house at that point in time. And it's difficult to grow, which is what Jupiter represents, if you're not in a relationship. If she's in the relationship house and that's what you're growing, you can't do that all by yourself. So I would say somebody's coming, but probably not until fall, mid-fall, and maybe even in toward the winter solstice, but it's coming. He's coming.
So maybe things will change after a couple of weeks. Just have to hang in there.
Just hang in
there. So do you recommend me calling this job and saying thank you for the message that you left? And I'll just look forward to hearing from you further about the position if it's still available or something like that. Because she called me like 2 weeks ago and she said she was also very interested in me and just had to wait for human resources.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I would call her and thank her for the call. Thank you for keeping me updated. I encourage you to call me and let me know if there's anything else I can do or, you know, when things change, I look forward to hearing back from you. And, you know,
Express a continued interest in the position.
Yeah.
That's how you want to couch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I pulled four cards, even more than three that I usually do. So we've got about a minute and a half. And so, Emma, just so that you understand, Janet is the good witch. I'm the bad witch. So I tell it to you a little bit more sort of straight ahead. Every single card that I have shows open hands, which means you are fighting the current. I need you to open your hands, not be resistant, and accept. The card behind you shows that you are Earth Mama. People love you, and they want to be healed by you. The card that's at present is the universe, which means you have everything in your wheelhouse. Stop second-guessing yourself. The card ahead of you says this is not going to happen for the next 6 weeks. It has many eyes. I'm going to even go so far as to say that you're going to have six people working with you, around you, and the eye of Buddha is there. The lotus blossoms are there, and it's going to be wonderful. You will not be staying at this job. You will not be staying at this job because you have the Eight of Cups, which shows energy going in, but then energy going out and being unfulfilled. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Emma, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
But we are down to our last 10 seconds.
Oh, I appreciate this so much, guys. Thank you. I feel like I went to a spa. Thanks so much.
I'm glad we could help. So for everybody listening today, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate that you listen. Follow us on Blog Talk if you want to find out updates on the show. We also have our Facebook page, Living Astrology. Find Jason at Titillating Tarot with jasonlevanis.com and Living Astrology at www.living-astrology.com. Everyone, have
Woo-hoo!
A stellar week. Jason, thank you so much.
Thank
Bye for now.
Thank you, Janet. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.